This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Concord, California's Summer Jazz Festival, celebrating its 50th anniversary the first 10 days in August, has consistently attracted stellar performers, including Buddy Rich, Stan Getz, Miles Davis, Tito Puente, Ray Charles, Herbie Hancock, and of course, Concord's favorite son, Dave Brubeck. To discover the past, present, and future of one of the West Coast's premier jazz festivals and a taste of life in Concord, I'm Tom Wilmer. Join me with Concord Jazz Festival historian Ellen Finley Hertigan, Matt Zebley, Director of Jazz Studies at Diablo Valley College, and Concord's Mayor, Carlin Obringer.
I'm Ellen Findlay Hertigan, and we're in Concord. We're sitting at the Galindo House.
Which is a historical 1850s home right in the heart of downtown.
Yeah, it is. And the Historical Society has done a beautiful job renovating this house.
So we're here this weekend in Concord because it's the 50th anniversary of the Concord Jazz Festival.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It started in 1969. I started in 1969 with them. I worked the first jazz festival, and then I worked the first 20 jazz festivals.
You started in high school.
That's right. I had just graduated from high school. I went to Clayton Valley High School here in Concord. And I knew the Jefferson kids and Carl Jefferson.
He was the founder.
Yep, he's the founder of the Concord Jazz Festival. At the beginning in 1969, it was not called Jazz Festival. It was called the Concord Summer Festival. It was held in an outdoor park, and we set up portable chairs, portable stage, lighting. And then for the first 7 years, it was held there. And then the interest from the Concord Summer Festival created the interest in building a permanent facility. So Carl Jefferson was also the spearhead behind building the Concord Pavilion.
And there was a connection with Monterey as to why and how it became and morphed into a jazz festival.
That's right. Carl Jefferson from Concord had met Jimmy Lyons, who was the founder of the Monterey Jazz Festival. And Jimmy Lyons was just invaluable. He helped get musicians to come and just help on how do you run a festival. And our festivals were successful from day one. I mean, some years there were bigger attendance than others, but there were always big names, including people like Ella Fitzgerald, Tony Bennett, Mel Torme, Rosemary Clooney.
I remember you mentioned Cal Jader, who was incredible.
And he lived in the Bay Area. And that's one of the fun things that happened was musicians would tell their friends, other musicians, and the word just got out. And so the musicians wanted to come here. They were always treated really well. A couple of the musicians had said to Carl Jefferson, "We need a record. Can you do a record?" And he's a car dealer. He owned the Jefferson Motors Lincoln Mercury dealer here. But they learned how to do it. And one thing led to another, and we had a record company. The first record came out in 1973, and now Concord Records is a huge company based out of Los Angeles
area. It's
like
fifth largest record producer, isn't it?
That's right, the fifth largest record company.
And you were there in the little converted fish house wrapping records back in the day.
Yeah, that's right. It was a small working group, and we all did lots of things. We all answered the phones. We all wrapped records. Yeah, and I wrote artist biographies. I would interview the musicians, and we'd type up biographies because a lot of these people had been performing their whole lives, but the last number of years, there wasn't a big market for their, you know, their style of music. And so it was like a calling card for them to have a record. And it just took off.
As you know, the game changer in my life relative to jazz is a guy that grew up here in town.
That's right, Dave Brubeck. He was born in Concord in 1920. And his mom was a piano teacher. And he took lessons. They lived here just in his early years, but he always came back. He always was very kind to all of the people in Concord and loved his roots here. So, yep, he had great influence worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Now, I presume he performed at your jazz concert?
He did, and I'm actually working right now trying to figure out how many times he actually did perform at the Concord Jazz Festival, because he performed multiple times, and he was always a very popular act. And
so was he always the favorite son of Concord? He always, his legacy was embraced by everybody here.
That's true. And the park where the jazz festival began, which was originally called Concord Boulevard Neighborhood Park, which is right next door to Concord High School, was renamed for him. And there was a big ceremony in 2006 when they renamed the park the Dave Brubeck Park. And he was here, and his wife, Iola, was here. And there was a big presentation and dedication.
Let's talk about the overview today of the Concord Jazz Festival, because it's not just a one-day affair, it's not a two-day affair, but it's 10 days.
That's right. This year is going to be starting actually on August the 1st, and it'll be 10 days in a row of different events, different venues, all over the Concord area. And one thing about the Jazz Festival is the last Jazz Festival we had here was in 2004. And then we haven't had a festival since then. So we had 35 years of Concord Jazz Festivals. But when everyone realized that this is 50 years since the very first one, it just happened. So many people just got on board and are making this happen.
So yeah. This is big time game changer year for the festival.
Yeah, this is a big year, right. And the main event is going to be August 3rd at the Concord Pavilion. And that, too, is going to be a big, you know, all afternoon and evening festival.
And going forward, 2020, something similar, 10 days again, probably?
Yes, yeah. I think so. And I think that this is going to kickstart the whole jazz festival returning to Concord and getting people coming to Concord that remember back in the day when they were here and say, oh, yeah, let's
cool.
do it. There are a lecture series coming up on the history of jazz, the history of Concord Records, and the history of jazz in general. Three different lectures in July and August through the Historical Society.
To learn more about the Concord Summer Jazz Festival, log on to visitconcordca.com/jazz.
Just keep checking back on that webpage because they're updating it all the time as new things are added. And my name's Ellen Findlay Hertigan. It's my great pleasure to be talking with you today.
Ellen, thanks for talking.
Yeah, thank you.
Here we are in Concord, California, and you are a professor of music, right?
Yes. Dr. Matt Zebley. I'm the director of jazz studies at Diablo Valley College.
Sounds like it ought to be illegal because you're having too much fun.
I am lucky. I get to do what I love. I'm passionate about making music and sharing music with others, and that's my gig.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
There are very few areas of study that I think you can be quite as passionate and kind of communicate that literally.
Yeah, I think it certainly helps in the arts. You know, it's something that you're doing, and that doing translates in the teaching. So those folks that are lucky enough to teach sculpture or dance or a film, if they're actual filmmakers, that absolutely resonates with students today.
Yeah, and for you, that auditory experience, let's say you're a mathematician and you're just in love with numbers,
mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah.
No matter how passionate you're chalking the numbers on the board,
right.
And they're silent. But you can translate your inner passion into the ears and the heart and soul of your students in a way that very few areas of study can do.
That's right, yeah. Vibration is really important. You know, the physical manifestation of sound is really powerful. And I think we're only scratching the surface in terms of modern society and what vibration is and what sound is. And, you know, there's been lots of attempts to develop it and weaponize it in some cases and heal with it. My wife is a music therapist. artist, and we've witnessed so much of the power of music in people's lives. It's really a wonderful thing to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Closer to home, here we are in Concord, and that's the 50th anniversary of the Concord Jazz Festival. And you are and have been intimately involved with that in different levels.
Yeah, it was a really great introduction and unusual. I just happened to open my local paper, Clayton Concord Pioneer, and I saw this little blurb, literally a one paragraph sentence that said, oh, there's a new jazz festival starting this year. It's the 50th anniversary and there's going to be a bunch of events. Keep posted. Watch out. And there was an email, Carol, and I emailed her and she got me in touch with Elaine Schroth and she said, hey, we've got this committee. Why don't you come down and be a part of it? And away we went. And just a bunch of like-minded, passionate people, local folks from all different walks of life, academia and business, and the folks that were here in the beginning. And it's just been a wonderful community of this board that really got together and made this happen. Literally, as Elaine said earlier, in the last 6 months, this entire event just kind of was birthed.
So you manifest on two different levels. You are a player, you are a performer,
right,
and you also are an interpreter. So you can help guide us and teach us at this festival. Tell us about how that manifests in your work.
Well, I think the important thing to know, you know, the history is critical and that is so valuable.
The backstory
of the music and how Concord was involved in jazz, in particular how this festival manifested. But I also feel really important about bringing that history to the present to make sure everyone knows that jazz is still very vibrant and very alive, and there are still players and there are still composers such as Dave Brubeck. And while I love to play his music and I learned so much by studying his music, I also love to compose my own music. And I want to continue that tradition. I want to continue being a part of that tributary of jazz. You know, they were the masters that brought it to us and developed it and evolved it. And I tell my students this now. There's room for you to contribute to this ocean of knowledge. And you have to learn from the masters, but then at some point you have to do your thing and move forward. And that's what I think is so exciting about this festival is we have so many local musicians who are going to be showcased playing their music and really keeping this music alive and thriving in the 21st century.
I think because of that thread of impromptuness of jazz, that spontaneity, that by nature it's experimental and it's cutting edge, and they don't even know where they're going sometimes, right?
Right, that's right. Yeah, the music, you have to be open and available, and you have to surrender to the moment. And it's really a process of making music in relation with other human beings. You have to listen, you have to react, much like you and I are doing right now. We're talking, we're sharing ideas, and the conversation flows, and that's exactly how music is. Music is a language, and you're speaking, you're listening, you're adding ideas, you're taking someone else's idea and moving it forward, and around we go. But we make that music in relation, in the moment, and in a very spontaneous way.
With blues is associated with a plaintiveness, I guess.
Yes.
Again, with a pain, you know, with almost that Buddhist approach, living of life. With jazz, how does it play the same and how does it differ?
That's a great question. I think that jazz is also very spontaneous, it's very in the moment, and it's very expressive. You're absolutely expressing your feeling about the music. Jazz also extended the language of the music, and there's definitely a more intellectual nature of jazz. The musical structures of jazz are oftentimes a bit more expanded and complex. The melodies, the scales, the chords, the harmonies, the rhythmic variation, everything is much more fluid, and that leads to more possibilities in the music. So while the fundamental aspect is the same, it's a music of self-expression.
So it's extemporaneous.
It's extemporaneous. Both blues and jazz musicians are expressing themselves in the moment.
So what you play today might be different tomorrow.
I want it to be different. I would never want to play the same solo or interpret the melody the same way. And that's because the musicians around me are playing something different tomorrow.
So exactly what I'm thinking is you have to be in sync with your fellow performers tomorrow.
That's right.
With a different attitude.
That's right. And in some cases, they may be different performers, or they'll be the same performers, but they had tea instead of coffee. Right. And that makes the music different, and that's beautiful.
Interesting. So it's always being reinvented.
Yeah, always being new, always being present, always listening, always responding, and just allowing the music to kind of come through you.
Let's loop back to the Concord Jazz Festival, 50th anniversary, and then going forward. This year, it's a 10-day event in total, and you're going to be doing some presentations yourself, some translating of music for people.
That's right. I've got a great band I'm really excited to share. It's my organ trio, and it features a jazz organist, Brian Ho. Old school, think Jimmy Smith, think about those old great jazz recordings of the 60s. He's playing the two-manual jazz organ with the foot pedals, and he's got a Leslie with that spinning speaker. It's a real sonic experience. And I have a wonderful drummer, Hamir Atwal. The three of us are going to explore my original compositions on Wednesday, August 7th at Diablo Valley College, 7:30 p.m.
Okay, so how does somebody learn more about the festival and about you and what you do?
Well, there's both online presences. There's a festival website that we've got that has all 10 events listed and where they're at. Some are free. Many of them are free. Some are ticketed.
Love it. Thanks, Matt, for sharing.
Hey, thanks so much, Tom. Appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Concord, California. Come along and join me for a visit with Carlin Obringer, the mayor of Concord, California.
Well, thank you very much for interviewing me today. I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to welcome you to Concord and talk with you about my favorite city.
Why is it your favorite city? You could have lived anywhere you wanted to.
I could have lived anywhere I wanted to, but whenever my husband and I decided to get married, we were looking for an affordable community, but also a welcoming community. And Concord is the biggest city in Contra Costa County with over 130,000 people, but it is a big city with a small town feel. And so it's been very easy to get connected. And what I love about Concord is the fact that I walk into the grocery store and most of the time I see somebody I know. So I tell my husband, don't worry if I'm gone for 45 minutes, because probably I'm talking with a friend or constituent.
That is a paradox, because that's what happens in a small town.
Exactly.
It follows. There is a sense of community here.
Absolutely. We have many different service clubs. People are very engaged in public service, whether through their church, activities like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. There's many different ways. Our historical society, our Chamber of Commerce. So there's many different groups that help to make up the patchwork of our community and make a difference here.
That's interesting, because looking from the outside, it's easy to go, oh, well, that's another bedroom community. You've probably heard that before.
I have that, but there is so much more to Concord than that. And let me just give you an example. Later on this evening, I think you've been invited to come down to Concord's living room, Todos Santos Plaza. And every Thursday night in the summer, from roughly May through September, we hold our music and market series. And that's where the community comes together. We have people in Concord from all walks of life, ethnic backgrounds, and we come together to enjoy the farmers market as well as a free live concert. And so you're going to be able to experience that tonight.
This is once a week, every week?
This happens once a week, every week on Thursday nights from May through September.
And the type of live music performances can run the gamut?
It varies. We have everything from tonight, you're going to hear a high school jazz band. Another popular act is called Zepparella, so it's an all-female Led Zeppelin cover band. People also enjoy the Michael Jackson tribute band, Foreverland, so it really runs the gamut.
Personally, I love the outdoors, and in the East Bay, in the whole greater region, the iconic mountain is Mount Diablo.
What I love about Concord, too, is that we have over 2,000 acres of both open space and programmed parks. So we have everything from the opportunity, if you want to go running on a trail, you can easily connect to the canal trail, you can bike to Mount Diablo, and also we have programmed activities, everything from, like I said, music and market in downtown Concord to Los Santos, to Zumba classes in some of our parks, to even disc golf and bocce ball happening. So if you're an active person, we've got open space and parkland for you. too.
Yeah. And I was reading your history 40, 50 years ago. Your airport was one of the top in the whole country.
Yes, well, things have certainly changed since that time, but you know what I'm really excited about? We now have Jet Suite X operating again, and I have flown.
And they go to Las Vegas?
They go to Las Vegas, and they also go to Burbank. And so I have taken their flight several times. And so if you book it far enough in advance, it's pretty much the same cost as if you were going out of Oakland on Southwest, and you're also adding in the parking or the BART ride. So it's very convenient, and you can literally drive right there, free parking, and have your family greet you when you're getting off the plane.
That doesn't happen anymore at airports.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It's certainly very convenient.
That's really cool. Well, I'm a real history buff, and I haven't been to your, quote, downtown yet. Is there an old downtown with old architecture still?
Yes, there absolutely is. And you're going to have the opportunity to see our former Masonic Temple that is becoming our museum and event center, as well as the Glindo home. And the Glindo home holds a very special place in my heart because before I was elected to the city council and had a little bit more time, I was able to serve as the docent there. And the Glindo home was built by one of the founding families of Concord. And the Concord Historical Society has played a major role in helping to protect and preserve the historic buildings that we do have, including the Glindo home. And they moved the museum and event center. They literally moved a building, Tom, on a Saturday morning at 6 a.m. from the corner of Clayton Road and Galindo Street over to its current location. And in addition to these historic buildings, I'd invite you to take a stroll just off of Todos Santos Plaza into our North Todos Santos neighborhood. So between Todos Santos Plaza and Queen of All Saints Church, there are many historic homes that are there that people are living in and have preserved to this day.
Let's go way back in time. Because in the early founding days of Concord, it wasn't called Concord. It was called
Todos Santos.
And it didn't stay, though. And that was because of Pacheco, the founder.
He wanted
to call the town that name?
Yes. He had named it Todos Santos. But this is one of the big mysteries, that it wasn't long after. We don't have anything recorded officially, but the town's fathers at the time decided to change the name to Concord. So that's how it's been known to this day. But we preserved Todos Santos in Todos Santos Plaza, the heart of our city.
So Pacheco's vision lives on, and he's still on her.
It certainly does. Absolutely.
It's hard to believe, but not that long ago in history, this was a rural little farming community.
That's true. And you know, I still meet people to this day who moved here in the 1950s and 60s, and they tell me, I remember when Concord was a town of 10,000 people, and now we're a city of 130,000. So there was a big building boom in this community in the 60s and 70s, and our community continues to grow to this day. But again, I'm proud that we're still able to maintain that small town charm even as we grow.
Looping back in history, looking in from the outside, it appears that World War II and the United States Navy was a game changer for Concord.
Absolutely. So we have a former Naval Weapons Station, and that's approximately 5,100 acres. That was an important part of the Concord community. We had military families living and working here. And then around the turn of this past century, the early 2000s, the weapons station was decommissioned. And so we are in the middle of an exciting once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to plan for the redevelopment of that former Concord Naval Weapons Station. Again, I'm glad people are using the airport.
Yeah. And that being said, going forward, it appears that you are going to create basically a whole new community, thousands of homes, and then thousands of new jobs.
Absolutely. So whenever you take a look at the numbers, we are planning to add 29,000 new residents. So that's the same population as one of our neighboring communities next door. With that said, though, the city council has a vision of one Concord. So as we're adding this new community, we're working to figure out how we can integrate it seamlessly with existing Concord. And we have a BART station, a Bay Area Rapid Transit station, right next to the property. So that's going to enable us to have a unique unique opportunity to attract living wage jobs, office space. But getting back to one of your earlier questions, we're going to have 2,300 acres protected as parks and open space, including a brand new East Bay Regional Park.
Out of curiosity, if you hopped on a boat from here, how long would it take to get to downtown San Francisco or, say, SFO?
If I got on at the North Concord Station, I would say it would roughly take about 40 minutes. And from the downtown Concord Station, it takes 35 minutes.
It could take 40 minutes to get from downtown San Francisco to South San Francisco.
Exactly. So it's extremely convenient.
So in some ways, paradoxically, you can have a shorter time commute being out here than being in a suburb of San Francisco.
That is true, coming from, say, the Outer Sunset. But also our goal is to take advantage of that reverse commute capacity. So right now, people in the morning generally are not commuting to North Concord. Some are commuting to downtown Concord, but we hope to be able to attract some high-quality employers and build a suit office space to take advantage of that reverse commute capacity.
Looking in from the outside again, this is all new and fresh to me. You guys have already attracted some major employers. Give us some of your top ones.
Sure. So right in our downtown, you're going to see some of our marquee employers. So Wells Fargo has a number of jobs in some of our downtown buildings. We also have the headquarters of AssetMark, which is a business-to-business financial management company. Again, they're listed on the marquee of one of the buildings. We also have Cirrus Corporation, which focuses on technology to test blood. And we've recently welcomed a company called Akesis, and they build these very large machines. They kind of look like MRI machines, but they are used to treat people that have brain cancer as well as Alzheimer's with targeted radiation to the brain.
Very cool. So you have a real strong business underpinning here.
We absolutely do. In fact, Concord is the business headquarters for Contra Costa County. 1 in 8 jobs is located in Concord, and we have approximately 55,000 jobs here.
Before you go, let's talk about you're the mayor. That implies politics and keeping people happy.
Yes. Well, I think it's a real privilege to be able to serve as the mayor here in the city of Concord, and I work very hard to try to find answers and solve problems for people, but I also have come to understand that I just am not able to make everybody happy all the time. So I have to live with that and work hard with my other 4 colleagues on the council to do the best we can for our community.
Let's talk about mayor as a woman and how that plays and where it's going.
Well, you know, I was thrilled to have this opportunity, and I am actually the youngest female mayor in Concord's history. I just discovered that a few months ago. And I think that in this case, people are just looking for somebody that's pragmatic and competent to serve. And so I just happen to be a woman, but I think that it's important whenever I speak to young women or women of all ages to remind them that women can do this job, and I encourage them to get engaged with public service at some level because it's important to have that kind of representation.
So for the next generation, by default, you do serve as kind of a symbol and something to look up to.
You know, it was interesting. I had the opportunity last week to serve as principal for the day at one of our local elementary schools, and that was something that the principal thought was important just to share with the students that, look, a woman can do this too. So my hope is that by the time these kids are my age or younger, in their 20s, or even voting age, that this isn't going to be a phenomenon anymore. It's just a fact of life.
Yeah, I think we are on that cusp as a society where it's not even worth mentioning anymore.
Exactly.
Geographically, where are you?
Concord is at the center of it all. We are here in the heart of the Diablo Valley, and we are an easy drive or BART ride away, or plane ride, actually, from San Francisco, Napa, Silicon Valley, Southern California, wherever you want to go.
And to get to San Jose, how long?
To get to San Jose, it's 50 miles.
In San Francisco?
San Francisco, I would count it more in minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's 35 minutes by BART station. And to Napa or Sonoma, it is 45 minutes.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Concord, California, where we've been visiting with Carlin Obringer, mayor of Concord, California. We'll see you here. To learn more about Concord, California, log on to visitconcordca.com. To learn more about the Concord Summer Jazz Festival, log on to visitconcordca.com/jazz.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. ¶¶